Trumpeter Christian Scott is a relatively new voice in jazz who has stepped up to challenge conventional thinking on the subject. He's picked a fight with some famous jazz purists, and for now at least, he's holding his ground because, well, as they say, he can blow. Here's my conversation with the 29-year-old about jazz music past, present, and future.
To be quite candid with you, it seems that you talk a little trash.
Oh, yeah, I talk
you
trash.
You know, with your music is concerned, particularly as it relates to your brand of jazz versus other older brands of jazz. You know what I'm going with this,
yeah,
right?
Of course, of course. I don't think the older ones, there's anything wrong with them. I love them to death. I just, you know, my biggest problem is with people that are living now, you know, making the same brand of jazz that they made 60 years ago, when 60 years ago they did it better. It doesn't make sense.
So what does make sense?
Well, I think what makes sense is sincerity. You know, I know that there's some, if someone's born in 1983 and they grew up with the type of musical influences that I grew up with and listened to the type of things that I listened to, and some stuff you can't get away from, you know, like the radio now. You can't. You know, I mean, it's just true. If you grew up with those influences, to be playing Bix Beiderbecke solos is a bit perverse to me. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, how do you relate to that? Because those guys, when they were playing that music at that time, you talk about guys like Miles Davis and stuff, and they'll tell you, well, I didn't play a certain way because I didn't think it went with what I was wearing or the people I was hanging out with. I'm just saying it might seem a little, you know, narcissistic from their point of view, but the thing about it is like they were being sincere about what it is and why they were making music a certain way. So the thing is, to be calling on to these things from these very, very, I mean, almost archaic forms of the music, if you're approaching it in a way where it's not to inform your musical decision making and you're saying, well, this is what it is and everything that comes after that is garbage, then I think there has to be someone that's on the other side of the fence saying, no, what we're doing is not garbage. And yeah, we'll fight you and we'll win. That's it.
Now, do you feel in any way held hostage by this?
No, I like it, man. I mean, the thing about it is it's not, I don't even really think about it unless someone asks me about it, you know, because the thing about it is part of the reason people get angry about it, other musicians, is because they know they can't devalidate what it is that I do because I know the entire history of the music. You know, they might be a trumpeter from, let's say, Chicago or Detroit that might have started with Dizzy Gillespie. He can't actually approach me with that and feel like he's actually going to win on any level because I'm starting with Buddy Bolden. And I know it the whole way through. You see what I'm saying?
It's
one of those things where you're not denigrating those guys' contributions. You're saying, well, I've made informed decisions my entire career in life and made a choice to do this music because I realize that it's going to help the next generation of musicians instead of inhibit them.
Let's talk about some of the specifics.
Sure.
One of the things that I read with regard to you, and particularly,
I like this already. I'm excited. Let's go. Come on.
Isn't about you and Wynton
so much,
about the swing. Let's talk about the concept of swing and whether or not there's a place for that.
We swing. We do it. That's the thing about it that people are shocked.
I'm confused.
So here's the thing. It's like I said, you're making choices to do something. Like I said, I'm not saying that those guys' contributions are not great. And I'm not saying that playing that music is a silly or stupid thing to do or anything like that. What I'm saying is when you make a choice to place a value on that and say, well, this is valuable, but everything that everyone is doing from this point on is not valuable, then there has to be someone that says, no, you're wrong. This is valuable. Now, if saying that what's happening during these times is valuable is being construed as saying that the stuff from the past is not valuable, then it's being misinterpreted. Here's the thing. I feel like for the last 20 to 25 years, jazz archetypal musicians and composers have more or less accepted the type of insincerity that's requisite for their musical survival. So with individuality being no longer paramount, you know what I'm saying? It's like you have all these drones that come out and everybody sounds the same. You have these schools that say, well, you listen to Miles Davis, Charlie Parker, and John Coltrane. But they're missing all this other stuff. The thing about it is you're dealing with a system that's designed with a cap on it. The guys that are at the top of the food chain have said, well, this is how you teach jazz, because this is America's classical music, and this is how you teach it. You can't go about teaching this the same way that you teach other things. This is not math. This is human expression. So these guys at the top of the food chain tell all the jazz programs across the country, you tell them to listen to Dizzy Gillespie and Miles Davis, Charlie Parker and John Coltrane. You tell them to listen to Charlie Christian. And the thing about it is like, if you have all these kids, thousands and thousands and thousands of kids listen to the same things, when they get to be grown men and they're really playing, all of their musical information is the same. So the decisions that they're going to make are going to be similar.
Where did this come from? Because you come out of New Orleans, and there's certainly a tradition of music based there.
Sure.
You're classically trained. Mm-hmm. At some point, you said, I'm turning left.
No, you know, it's funny. I started off left. When someone tells me to do something, I'm always processing whether or not they're telling me for them or for me. If I come to the conclusion that they're telling it for me, then I sincerely make a concerted effort to try and dig into that as hard as possible. So when people were telling me, well, you just listen to Clifford Brown, I was saying, well, damn, Booker Little's pretty good. Why am I not listening to him? Do you see what I'm saying?
I see.
Whereas most kids don't have that type of thought process all the time. It's the conditioning. So the thing about it is you have all these children that are coming up and everyone's saying, well, you're just listening to Miles and Dizzy Gillespie, but they're not getting any Clifford Brown, they're not getting any Fats Navarro, they're not getting any Roy Eldridge, they're not getting any Louis Armstrong, the list goes on and on and on. So you're not going to actually be able to take the music a notch up or actually be put in a position where you can actually challenge these guys that have set this dynamic up if you're only listening to a quarter of the things that you need to be prepared for. I don't think I'm the voice. I feel like I'm the person that's opening up palettes so that somebody can come and blow this stuff out of the water.
How does that fight that you're fighting represent itself in the new CD, the live recording from Newport?
Well, it's edgier than the records are. You hear everything happening it immediately. It's like it's happening in live time. This is it. People are reacting to it. You hear mistakes. All these things are prevalent in the live recording. So I think it helps with the argument that people have come up with that. They say, well, Christian Scott, you know, makes great studio records, you know, and, you know, there's probably, you know, editing going on and all these things, which is not really the case. But the fact of the matter is you can't argue that with a live record. But you can see and hear, and this is in real time, nothing is edited at all, that band is really playing well.
And I appreciate you coming
back. Man, thank you. I appreciate a really honest, real interview, man. Because I don't get it. You know, people ask, you know, I get some of the craziest questions. It's like, I love Prince, but I'm sick of talking about playing with Prince. Like, there's other stuff going on right now.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I understand that. And you're welcome to come back and see us anytime.
It's all good.
Okay,
I appreciate
brother.
You. All right.
Trumpeter Christian Scott. His latest CD is called Christian Scott Live at Newport.